What an incredible day this is. I mean, what an incredible opportunity we have. An incredible opportunity just to touch lives, to worship our God, to exalt Him, to make a difference in the lives of others. An incredible day. But you know, every day is incredible. Every day is a great opportunity. It's an opportunity to give. It's just an opportunity to exalt our God. Because He's our God. Because we know Him. Because we have hope in Jesus Christ and in the coming kingdom of God. It's an incredible day. I want to share with you about opportunities today. And I want to challenge you to use today to touch lives, to make a difference. And I challenge you to do that tomorrow and each day that we have as well. Opportunities are defined as a favorable juncture of circumstances or a good chance for advancement or progress. An opportunity, just a favorable juncture of circumstances. Things come together where we can do some good from it. And I think opportunities are absolutely boundless. The problem is never whether there are enough opportunities or not. The problem is, do we have eyes to see them and a heart to respond to them? That's really the issue, because there are favorable junctures of circumstances all around us, I think all the time. There are chances for advancement, chances for progress, chances to build up others that happen all the time. There's an old saying that says, four things come not back. The spoken words, the spin arrow, time passed, and the neglected opportunity. There are opportunities all around us. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. I think this is just a great example from Scripture of some incredible opportunities that the nation of Israel had and that they blew. And so we learn from it, and hopefully we don't blow some that come our way. The nation of Israel has arrived at the borders of the Promised Land. They had been in Egyptian captivity for something like 430 years. Exodus 13:3 says that the Lord led them out with a mighty hand, and there were all those incredible miracles, the crossing of the Red Sea, all of that that went on. They're at the border. They're ready to enter the Promised Land that God had said He would give to them. And so He says, go in and check it out for 40 days. In Numbers 13, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send out one of its leaders. And so the first thing I see here is that God presents to us opportunities. It is quite often that God gives to us a favorable juncture of circumstances. And it has nothing to do with luck. Probably if I could strike a word from our vocabularies, it would be luck. Okay? I think luck diminishes the role of God. And I don't really go for coincidences either. I think God brings us to those places where we can do wonderful things through His power and in His name. We see here that God presented to the people of Israel an opportunity. He says, go in and check out the land. And so they do that. They go in and they check it out, and then some things happen. But God gives to us opportunities as well. And I think one of the things we learn here is that God handles His part. But we then have to follow through. We have to do our part as well. You know, if you want a job, usually they don't just fall in your lap. Once in a while, maybe that occurs, but if you want a job, normally you have to go out and put in some applications and do your part, put some legs on your prayers. If you want to do really well on a test in school, usually you have to study. It doesn't just happen by osmosis when you put your head on the pillow and never break a book. You have to do your part as well. If you want to be able to pay your bills, normally you have to get up, go to work, and earn your paycheck so you can pay the bills. You can't just sit by and hope that occurs. That's one of the things wrong with the lottery, is just the unfounded hope that it will fall in our laps. God will do His part. God will provide. But faith is still needed. Faith still has to do its part as well. I just think there are opportunities all around us in God's provision. We just need to do our part and accept, see the opportunities and accept with our hearts. So the 12 who were sent in verses 1 and 2 went into the land. They checked it out for 40 days as they were told. The number 40 in Scripture always a number of testing or trial. They check it out and they go through the land and they come back and it was fertile and it was great and there was people there and there's good cities there and there's incredible fruit. They cut a cluster of grapes, just one cluster. They had to carry it on a pole between two of them. It's a wondrous land. It's a great land. Look at verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron, the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruits of the land. The second thing I see here is that opportunities require follow through. Again, God will do His part, but we need to follow through on that. They're called spies. They were told to go spy out the land. They were given their assignment and they followed through. They went and they stayed the 40 days and they went all over the land and they checked it out and they saw all the sights and they saw the possibilities that were there. So they carried it out. I see the lesson there that people of faith, believers, have integrity. They keep their word. They're given an assignment by God and they went and they did that. And I think we are to do the same thing. We are to keep our word. We are to follow through on opportunities that God presents to us. There are a lot of things that are said about good intentions. Most of what's said is not good about good intentions. Because good intentions don't amount to anything. And there could be good intentions, there can be great opportunities, but if we do nothing with it, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans because nothing changes, nothing's accomplished. Opportunities require follow-through. God will provide, God will do His part. We have to keep our word. We have to follow through on that. The third lesson I see here is that faith builds on opportunities. Look at verse 27. It says, they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. So the spies come back. They report to Moses, and they say, man, it was great. It's an incredible land. There were great things there. Here's the fruit. Look at the size of this cluster of grapes. It flows with milk and honey. It's a fertile land. It's an abundant land. It's good stuff. So they say, yes, Moses, it's a wonderful opportunity. Had they stopped right there, nothing good would have come from it. And essentially, that's what happened. They stopped right there. I think oftentimes, God presents to us opportunities. He says, here's a chance at ministry. Here's a chance to make a difference in someone's life. And we can say, yeah, that looks great. That looks like an incredible chance to make a difference. And go take a nap rather than following through on that. There are times when I think God just says, here's the seed. Plant it. Watch it grow. Use it. Harvest it. Do something with it. Build upon that opportunity. So I don't believe God works out every single detail for us. They come back and they give this report. And they say, the land is great, it's incredible. Then verse 28 starts with, but. And then you kind of go, oh man, here it comes. Everything's absolutely great, it's incredible, but. There's big guys there. The descendants of Anak are big guys, ugly guys too, and they smell bad. You know, the descendants of Anak are there. And we saw all these other people, and they're big. And so there's abject panic among 10 of the 12 spies about the barriers to the opportunities. Yeah, we could go in. We could enjoy the fertile ground. We could build. We could do all kinds of wonderful things. But the big guys are there. The giants. We look like little grasshoppers in their sight. They're big. And all they saw was the barriers. And it's so easy to be critical of them. We look back with our 2020 hindsight and we say, wait a minute. God just brought you through the Red Sea. He opened the waters. You passed through. The Egyptian army went in. He closed the waters. Don't you remember? We said, look at how God fed you. Look at all the things God did for you. And you just see these giants and you get all panicked. I don't think we should be so harsh. For how often do we see just the barriers and not the blessings? How many times has God worked miracles on our behalf? And with faith too small, we see just the barrier and not God able to work through all of that. How many times have we focused on the opposition, not the opportunity that God can use to work through us, to change lives and to do wondrous things for Him? Small faith is blocked by barriers. But oftentimes I think the barriers are just our own doing. There are times when our priorities are messed up. There are times when we get too involved in other things. I was reading some thoughts about managing our time. And sometimes that just becomes a barrier because we're so busy and we have so much going on. Here's a list that one person came up with of things that become barriers to him. And I just related to this. He said, attempting too much at once, or unrealistic time estimates, or procrastinating, or a lack of specific priorities, or failure to listen well. None of us guys ever are guilty of that. He says, doing it myself, a failure to delegate, the inability to say no, perfectionism, focusing on all kinds of needless details, or lack of organization, or a failure to write it down, or writing it down and forgetting where you put the note, or just a reluctance to get started, or the absence of self-appointed deadlines, or not doing first things first. See, sometimes we create our own barriers that really hinder us from the opportunities that God presents to us. But God is bigger than the giants. God is bigger than the barriers. The opportunities are more powerful than the opposition. We need to focus on the blessings, not the barriers. And the fifth thing I see here is that opportunities allow us to work for God's glory. Look at verse 30. Joshua and Caleb have a different report than the 10 spies who said, no, we can't, they're big, ugly, smelly, we can't do it. Verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. The lone voice kind of crying out against the crowd. Caleb says, we can certainly do it. God working in us, we can do it. We can take advantage of the opportunity. We can enter this land that God is giving to us as a possession and just be incredibly blessed. We can take advantage of the opportunity. And as you continue reading in verses 31 through 33, we see they missed it. They blew it. They said, oh no, we can't. And the opportunity passed. And they spent the next 40 years camping out, holding funeral services, until everybody over 20 years old died. There's a saying that I enjoy. It says, we're all faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. We're all faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Yet nothing is impossible with God. We need to take those opportunities and give Him the glory that comes through them. Turn to Galatians chapter 6 with me. Just want to look at these three texts in the New Testament that talk about opportunities and have some wonderful things to say. Four principles that I see in these texts. The first one is that attitude determines opportunities. Basically just saying our attitude determines whether we look at something as a blessing or as a barrier. It's our attitude has so much to do with that. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Paul says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." I think he's saying a lot there about perseverance as well. You know, sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. It's hard to keep doing the right thing when there's no appreciation and no thanks, and when the rest of the crowd is doing something different. It can be hard to do the right thing, but Paul says, don't give up. Keep doing the right thing. In God's time, the harvest will come if you don't give up. And I think it's saying a great deal there too about our attitude determines our opportunities. We can grow weary, or we can know that the harvest will happen in the right time, in God's time, that our attitude determines whether it's a problem or whether it's an opportunity. And if we have bad attitudes, it may cause us just to pass up on the opportunity. Linda just showed me something she read in a book called The World According to Mr. Rogers. And he tells a story of being on vacation and going to a church, and he said he heard the absolute worst sermon he had ever heard in his entire life. He said it was poorly organized, it was poorly delivered, and it was a chore to sit through it. He said he was having a hard time. He felt like it was a total waste. He had not been blessed by it. He got nothing out of it. He thought it was absolutely horrible. And then he turned, and he saw the woman sitting just a few feet away from him. And tears were running down her eyes. Not because the sermon was awful. She said, "He said just what I needed to hear today." And Fred Rogers said he had a different perspective from then on, because it may not have been great to him, but it was a blessing to her. Our attitude determines opportunity. And he said he listened different to sermons from that point on, because whether it was deeply touching his heart or not, it may have been touching the person next to him. He didn't want to rob God of that glory. Secondly, I see here that opportunities always mean choices. One of the incredible things that God has done for us, given us choices. Look at verse 10. It says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Opportunities absolutely abound. We have the eyes to see them and the heart to respond to them. We always have choices. We can do the good that's presented to us in that opportunity, or we can pass. When the choice may be good, better, and best, and it's hard to choose because there are so many opportunities for us to celebrate and to worship our God, there are always those choices before us. Paul encourages doing good to all people, especially those to the family. He just would encourage the same thing. Opportunities mean choices. You can say yes and receive the blessing. You can pass and not. But what difference we sometimes make without knowing it. Simply with a smile. Simply with a kind word. Maybe just reaching out and putting our arm around someone and just giving them a little squeeze and saying nothing. Maybe buying lunch. Maybe sending a note, maybe the phone call that simply says, "I'm thinking of you." You never know how many lives we'll touch as we take those opportunities that come to us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, just over a few pages. The third principle I see here is that opportunities really depend on our outlook. It really depends on how much we're looking for them, I think. Beginning with verse 14. It says, "For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Do we have the eyes to see? Can we wake up and see opportunities before us? And he says, live wisely because the days are evil. My goodness. I was just thinking the other day how far we have come in such a brief time. And I don't remember how many years ago, but it wasn't very many, that Ellen DeGeneres was taken off the air. Her show was removed because she went public with the fact that she was a lesbian. And look at where we're at now. Be very wise in the way you live because the days are evil. Opportunities depend on our outlook. We can moan and groan and decry how evil our age is. Or we can take the opportunity to defend the sanctity of marriage, to tell what it means to us, to uphold the truths of Scripture, to share our faith with other people and say, no, it does matter that marriage is between a man and a woman. One man and one woman. And we can just be all upset about how evil things are, and they are, and we ought to be upset, but it's an opportunity so often to share. Now, I hear statistics that are scary, that basically people under about 25, the whole issue doesn't matter. They don't care. Yeah, to each his own. It's an opportunity to uphold the truths of Scripture and to share our faith and to share why it does matter. Opportunities depend on our outlook. They depend upon our attitude. Let's live as wise believers and make the most of every opportunity to share. And then turn over just a couple more pages to Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 2 through 6. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. See the principle here, that the greatest opportunities are not necessarily easy. And Paul talks here in the context of sharing the gospel with other people. And he mentions in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. And I think, you know, we all have opportunity through our spiritual disciplines to grow closer to God, but it's not necessarily easy to develop that discipline. It's not necessarily easy, but it has incredible rewards as we grow closer to God through our prayer lives and through time in the Word. As Russ shared, through meditation, through study, through those kinds of disciplines. It's not easy, but it's wonderfully rewarding. Saying the right things is not always easy, but we always have that opportunity to bless others or to build others up through the words that we use. Forgiveness and reconciliation is not easy, but we always have that opportunity to restore relationships that are broken. Sharing the gospel message is not always easy, for sometimes people have hostility toward it, but it's the opportunity to demonstrate God's grace and to change lives forever, literally. So the greatest opportunities aren't necessarily easy, but they come with incredible blessings as well. We need to be wise in the ways that we act and make the most of every opportunity for the glory of God and to build others up as well. This is a very special day. I encourage you to touch lives today in special ways. And I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention that 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse chapter 6 and verse 2 says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I want to give to you, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that opportunity today to recognize that sin in your life can't be dealt with in any other way, that there's no other way to have eternal life except through Jesus Christ. And as we sing our closing song, simply to come forward acknowledging that you want Christ as your Savior, acknowledging that you want to trust in Him and in Him alone for your eternal life. If you'd like to accept Christ today, I would just simply invite you to come forward as we sing.